And welcome in to the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is having a fantastic start to their day today, this morning. If you are, it's probably not as good as mine. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, don't bother asking me how I'm doing or Ian how he's doing. Just take your shirt off and run around the studio and, like, break some stuff. I mean, come on.
The Green Bay Packers are winning the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is coming to Green Bay this year, ladies and gentlemen. Micah Parsons, a Green Bay Packer. I still can't believe Jerry Jones is stupid enough to do it, but he is.
It's incredible. I did, the first thing I thought of was you as we started trading holy bleep texts, like the whole sports world. And then you're like, Jerry Jones, what is wrong with you? And then you're like, Dallas sports fans.
That's a tough one.
Luka and Micah shipped out of there.
Yep.
In the last few months. My God.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was caught up in such euphoria that didn't even register me when the trade first went down. And then I saw, I think it was Cameron Wolf, friend of the show, throw that out there. And I was like, oh, yeah, they did trade Luka Doncic earlier this year, didn't they? So in the span of a few months, they've traded Luka and Micah Parsons. Go back like a year ago and tell Dallas sports fans that.
What else can – I mean – you know, maybe the Stars can trade half their team, too.
I saw the Stars tweeted out yesterday.
Who are they getting rid of?
Don't worry. Miko Rantanen's still a Dallas Star.
Miko will not follow Luka and Micah.
He ain't going nowhere. And then everybody started responding to him like, well, what about Jason Robertson? Did you trade him? It's like, geez. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't worry. Matt Duchesne's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere.
You know, I'm wearing a Michigan Panther shirt. I guess I'm on a run of Michigan sports teams, but I'm wearing this because, you know, they won the USFL championship in 1983. They will continue to be the last Detroit-based professional football team to win a championship for many. And that was going to be true anyway, but I like how this is like hammered home for various teams, including the Lions. Like, yeah, you're screwed, man. You're porked.
Well, I think, obviously, I'm very excited. I mean, I still can't believe they traded Micah Parsons. Like, it's crazy to me that they've traded Micah Parsons, who, again, as we talked about through this entire process, Joe, like, when you look at some of the numbers, he's basically comparable to, I don't know, Reggie White. That's about it. Like, Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor, some of the numbers that he's put up. And it's like, wow, Jerry Jones traded that, huh? Interesting stuff. And, like, the contract. Like, everybody's going to get caught up in the $47 million per year, which is a big number. What's it, $120 million fully guaranteed? Like, it's
guaranteed at signing?
Yeah.
And like, then $136 something?
That's a big number. But you're telling me Dallas couldn't make it, you know, $120 million fully guaranteed at signing work? It's crazy to me that they allowed it to get to this point.
It's, I'm trying to imagine, like, Dallas sports talk today.
Oh, boy.
Because I did not watch the whole Jerry Jones presser, but I saw enough. It's actually almost, like, sad now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, does he believe the stuff he's saying? Like, they're going to be better for this? Do people understand how unlikely it is that Micah Parsons, when he was drafted, would become the player he is?
Yeah.
How hard it is to find a player like that? How rare, how exceptional a player he is? Like, you're getting two first-round picks from a team that, as you joked yesterday, but maybe you're not wrong at all.
Oh, I'm not joking.
But even if it's not 32 that they're picking, they're not picking high with those picks. They're not getting high picks. The Packers were going to be good anyway.
Yeah.
It's a complete disaster. It's a complete disaster on their part. And, hey, good for the Packers, man. I mean, you were joking before the show, Jerry Jones.
Ring of honor.
Yeah, put him in the
Packers ring of honor.
Hey, you got to make Vince Lombardi's letters a little smaller. We need Jerry Jones really big up there.
Street up there that hadn't been named yet that they could name Jerry Jones today. Maybe over there by the Shoney's.
Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Jerry Jones. It's just unbelievable.
Just call Aaron Rodgers, be like, hey, we're going to have to delay the street after you for a while, man. Yeah. We've got to put Jerry in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you can be like, maybe like the cul-de-sac of the Jerry Street, maybe something like that. Just, how about that?
I mean, look, I said it to you before the show, the Packers were the youngest team in the NFL before this trade, and they shipped out 30-year-old Kenny Clark and have now brought in 26-year-old Micah Parsons. So they've gotten even younger in this trade. And look, in all seriousness, like they have opened a Super Bowl window here for the next few years. Like they've got a really young wide receiver core. And what this is going to do, which I think was the case anyway, but now it's just magnified, now there's an absolute ton of pressure on Jordan Love. Like Jordan Love has to play really well. And Matt LaFleur and Gutekunst, I don't think, have a contract next year. So that could change at any point along the way here, and I think it probably will. But like it's a very much – I mean, how many teams just throw two first-round picks away? Even though you're expecting them to be later, it's like you better win. Like this is a total win-now move with a very young roster, and it's the type of team that can absorb something like that because of how young they are and how much draft capital they've already invested.
I mean, it's – to me, again, it's an absolute no-brainer. It is so hard to find a player like this.
Yeah.
You can – draft picks are valuable, but, like, players like this don't get moved. Situations like this don't get botched. Like, they really don't. This is an all-timer. I mean, it's funny, through all this, obviously, I felt the same way. Everybody's like, well, they're not trading him. Of course not. I never believed they were. Some people were violently – like, you know, screaming at people who even suggested it. Apparently, Michael Irvin
was on NFL Live about 30 seconds before this happened yesterday. It was like, they're not trading Micah Parsons. It's not going to happen. And then, boom, they got traded.
That is truly amazing.
It was awesome.
You know, like the Cowboys. Good job, Cowboys. I mean, you extended, you know, you had these situations and you figured it out with Dak. You figured it out with CD. He's a great player. You don't figure it out with Micah Parsons? Oh, I mean, it's just amazing. So I like, good for you, and you should be ecstatic.
I am.
But it is a, you know, it's like the misery on the, and I don't really, I mean, I don't mind Dallas Cowboys fans being miserable. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, Chase McCabe. Have you and Chase talked?
Oh, we've talked, yes. Yeah, he is not very happy.
Yeah. I mean, Chase will, you know, take things in stride, but I could even see him having a rage fit about this one.
No, he was pretty upset.
Good God.
Pretty upset at Jerry
it's
Jones.
So bad.
Pretty upset. And now, like, on, like, in all seriousness, looking at the NFC, what does this do? Because, you know, Philadelphia clearly is the best team, right? I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. They got their guys coming back. And what they did in the playoffs last year, I mean, they were dominant. You know, I know the Rams almost got them. But, like, go back and look at the line of scrimmage. Like, Jalen Carter is an absolute freak, and he's a problem to deal with out there. And they've got a really good offensive line, and there's just no weakness. We don't have to sit here and talk about the Eagles. Like, everybody knows there's no weakness that they've got. And I don't know that this is exactly the same. Like, I don't know that I look at Green Bay and say there's no weakness. But, I mean, if you're gonna compete with Philadelphia and you're going to try to put yourself – in an NFC that's pretty wide open, right? Like, Philadelphia is really good. Everybody thinks Washington is going to be good. We'll see what they do in year two. The Rams, like, is Matthew Stafford's back going to hold up the whole year? Detroit, how do they absorb the loss of the two coordinators? Minnesota, is J.J. McCarthy worth the crap? Like, is he any good? So it's pretty wide open. Like, this is the type of move you make to elevate yourself. And now, I mean, you're looking at the offense for Jordan Love, if he stays healthy, you've got Josh Jacobs, you've got a really good offensive line. You just took Matthew Golden in the first round. Like, to me, this puts them in that conversation with Philadelphia in the NFC. Like, I think if you were trying to pick a top three, like, it'd probably be Philadelphia, the Packers, and then whatever combination of Detroit and Washington you want to go with.
Yeah, I don't think there's – that's the thing. I don't think that there's a – I think it's a tier of two teams now. That's how I look at the NFC. And I did. Before this, I think Philadelphia was a clear favorite. Like you said, I mean, they're loaded. They won it all. And I'd still keep them as the favorite. We also know it's very hard to repeat. And then after them, I think that tier – I mean, I had the Packers in the next tier with – I mean, I thought the Packers were going to win the NFC North anyway. But that's fine. Packers, Lions, yeah, Rams for sure, and Commanders. I think that'd be the four teams. Now it's, to me, now it's Eagles, Packers.
Yep.
That's the tier. I mean, it's just going to be fascinating. You never know how things are going to work out. But I just...
Well, and by the way, you talk about some theater.
He's unstoppable.
Micah Parsons, obviously, they'll be on national TV against Detroit next week, so everybody's going to be watching that. Week four, Packers, Cowboys in Dallas, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, baby.
I know NBC is sitting there like, well, this couldn't have worked out better. Yeah, awesome. Right. Micah Parsons coming back to Dallas pretty early in the year.
Chris Collinsworth's going to slide so hard in his chair, he's going to like fall out of the booth, man. Yeah, that's amazing. My goodness. Like, that could be like a protest Jerry Jones night on national TV, you know? Like, seriously, especially if it, like, the Packers just go in there and, whoo, baby. It's truly amazing. We got some interesting thoughts on this from the Titans perspective, which I did see a fair amount of that, too. And if you're a fan base who knows about bad trades, you know.
Well,
you know about bad trades.
There is that. So we'll take your thoughts on the Micah Parsons deal from Dallas to Green Bay. A lot of your thoughts on could the Titans have pulled something like this off? We'll get into all that coming up. So we do have a fantasy football spot to give away this hour. We will do that. We have two spots to give away today. Our final two spots in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We will give away one later this hour. We will give away another in the 8 o'clock hour when Paul Kuharski is here. So make sure you're tuned in throughout the show today for all of that. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Micah Parsons, hey, look, you can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Micah Parsons to go anywhere. All of it, all of this is part of the negotiations. And as I talked to Jerry the other day on my podcast, and he was talking about it the other day when he tried to make that offer, he said somebody told him to shove it up his rear and all of that. I honestly, it blew my mind. It blew my mind that any kind of conversation like that would be going on in a situation like this. Micah Parsons, I want him to take control of this thing and say, I don't care about you two and whatever y'all got going. Get y'all butts in a room and get my money on that paper. That's what you need to be doing. So I'm hoping that's what gets done. But I guarantee Micah Parsons not going anywhere. Jerry's not that crazy. This is all what we call just negotiation stuff.
That's Michael Irvin.
Good call.
About 25 seconds before Micah Parsons was traded from Dallas to the Green Bay Packers. Oh, I don't know that could have worked out more swimmingly. Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer. It actually happened. The Dallas Cowboys actually did it. And Jerry Jones actually apparently thinks it's a good idea. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number.
I did not think I'd come in. I thought we'd come in today. It's like we should just have a parade for Robbie.
Yeah.
And like you should, like you absolutely, this is a day that you should, like, you just do whatever you want, man.
Yeah, man.
I cannot believe that we have takes that I've seen already on this show. For example, Chip from Mount Juliet. Can I read this?
Sure.
Lifelong Packer fan, shareholder, too. He's in on this. Not sure how I feel about the trade and compensation. They are not close to elite. Need more depth and playmakers. That's a lot of money to sew up on a single defensive player.
Chip.
I might lose my mind today if I what?
Chip.
What?
Come on, man. I think what I've noticed in this conversation, I don't think people quite realize how good Micah Parsons
they
is.
They obviously don't.
Everybody
watches the Cowboys, don't they?
This is not we're not trying to be hyperbolic here. Like, the numbers tell you at this point in his career that he's basically been Reggie White. Like, that's what they tell you.
But he is better than the numbers.
Right.
Watch him play. Here's a stat I just – Oh, did I lose this guy? All right. I apologize for not having the credit here. But this guy writes for, like, a Dallas Cowboys website, DLLS Cowboys. If you're a Cowboys fan, you know who he is. I mean, he's got a huge following. So he writes one of the Cowboys websites. He tweeted this out. Since Micah Parsons became a Dallas Cowboy, they are – according to this person who I can't credit because I lost him on my phone. They are number one in the NFL in defense on plays in which he's on the field and number 32 in plays in which he's not on the field. I don't know how you could possibly watch him play, understand the production, and as a Packer fan not be absolutely like over the moon about this. you know, Ed's saying on the YouTube check, if the Pac don't win at all, is this still a win, Joe, in your eyes? Well, look, we'll see if they win at all. If they don't win at all, my guess is it's probably not because of him. It's probably because, you know, Jordan Love doesn't quite get the – I mean, you're still going to need to be great
there. He
needs
to play really well.
Yeah, like, to win it all, you're still going to need more than Micah Parsons, obviously, right? But is this a win? I mean, yeah. We could look back in retrospect and maybe he gets hurt or whatever, things that we can't – but right now, how could anyone of any sort of – sound mind not declare this an overwhelming win and one of the worst trades in NFL history by the Cowboys and one of the best by the Packers. That's what it is.
Well, I saw, you know, Chase threw this out there yesterday, and I'll admit I did start thinking about this immediately. Like, what trade is worse? And again, we have the benefit on the A.J. Brown part of this of, like, of hindsight, because you can look and see what A.J. Brown has done in Philadelphia and the fact that they've won a Super Bowl and they've been to another Super Bowl. So I realize it's not the same.
Right.
But I will say, I mean, the day after they traded A.J. Brown, we had a show the next day, and you were losing your mind the entire show about it, about how stupid it was.
Yeah.
And it does feel pretty similar from that standpoint.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wrote a column in The Athletic about how it's like a disastrous, and then we sat here and cried. I mean, I cried about it or just screamed about it or whatever. Then we got to the afternoon, I was like, yeah, I think it makes sense. But anyway, no, it is. I mean, I think this is worse. Like, in the moment, I think this is worse. A.J. Brown's a great player, and we don't need to revisit all that. That was bad, right?
Yes.
Micah Parsons, guys. Like, again, anybody like Brandon, who we love on the YouTube chat for his constant, especially for his consistent rips of, you know, Tennessee offensive line development, says Dallas will turn those two picks into two all-pro offensive linemen. Parsons no shows consistently when it matters most. Good riddance. You can't possibly seriously mean that. So I'm assuming Brandon's a Dallas Cowboys fan?
I guess.
If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, stop being a Dallas Cowboys fan right now. Stop it. Brandon, you can't possibly believe what you just said there. There's no way you think that.
As most people have a lot of people have pointed out, go back and watch that Jerry Jones press conference yesterday, and the amount of times that he referred to Micah Parsons as Michael. Like, it's unbelievable. It's like, Jerry, do you not know what his name is? Like, Stephen Jones at one point was like, Michael. It's Micah. It's like, Jerry, Micah. It's Micah Parsons. Maybe this is a little bit of insight as to why you couldn't get a deal done if you don't know what his name is.
Micah.
Did I talk to Michael? Micah.
I mean, and
this is something from a TV show. Like, this, I think I'm still stunned because it doesn't feel real. Like, I don't know how to give you this stupid to trade him.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I haven't really read that much about the reaction to this, but I mean, I did see something where, you know, I don't want to make this about, well, Jerry Jones is, you know, like his age or whatever. I mean, he is up there. And, look, I think he's been mismanaging the Cowboys for a long time. We've talked about this before. Like, they evaluate players and they bring good players in.
I mean, I know.
Obviously. But they also had no idea Micah Parsons was going to be this good. But, I mean, this is – if you're a Cowboys fan and you're not convinced that, like, you're absolutely toast as long as this guy is running things. I mean, you should be convinced of that now. And, again, if you're Jared Goff, you're about to get mono and miss the first game. Oh, I can't quite make it, coach. I'll try to get back next week. But if you're anybody else in the NFC, how much do you hate the Cowboys? Like, what are you doing? Also, the Packers ruin their lives all the time. It's incredible.
That's the other thing. It's like you traded him to a team that everybody just saw you on Netflix last week crying about after they beat you in the playoffs a couple years ago, and now you've traded him in your conference to one of your rivals that let's say you do take some people with this first round, with these first round picks that work out. Well, this guy's going to be directly in your way in the next. It's not like this is a 1 year thing. Like, Micah Parsons, as we pointed out through this entire process, is 26 years old. Like, he's just now entering into his prime. Like, he's not going anywhere anytime soon, and he's going to be directly in your way for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
Right. I mean, if you're going to do this, I would, you know, obviously you think about, like, don't do it in your division. But I would also say, like, if you're going to do this, if you're if you've gotten to the point of no return, you have to do it with an AFC team, right?
Yeah. Jerry Jones win GM of the year?
God. I mean.
Packers win the Super Bowl. They invite Jerry to the parade.
That's a good question.
Big Grand Marshal.
I mean, you know, he referenced the Herschel Walker trade, which, of course, this is, you know,
oh, yeah, let's talk about the glory days.
Yeah. You know, the Herschel Walker trade, if anybody doesn't know, that's Herschel Walker, Cowboys, great running back. Vikings thought he was the final piece, even though I don't, looking back, it's like they weren't even that good. And they gave him, like, the half the world for him, and it built the Cowboys dynasty of the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. So, yeah, that's not, this is not that. This is two low first-round picks and a pretty good player. It's for, like a guy who is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Like, again, unless he gets hurt.
Yeah.
He is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, and I think he has a chance to be one of the great greats.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. Like, if you don't see that, I don't know what to do for you.
So could the Titans pull this off? A lot of people wondering about that on the text line. It's two first-round picks. And a player in Kenny Clark who is a good player, right? Like, it's not like he's some scrub out there. He is a good player. You know, I wouldn't call him a superstar, but he's a good player. Could the Titans have pulled something like this off?
Yeah, some people have asked that. And like, should they have? I will say, first of all, yes. Every team in this league should have been, like, you know, running around the streets singing to the heavens if they got the opportunity to let Jerry Jones be this stupid and help them this much. So, yes, all 31 other teams should have done this, 100%. 100%. Micah Parsons at 26 here, you got a chance to – like, that's a building block of a great team. It's a key building block. So, 100%. Could they have? Should they have? Sure. I mean, I'd love to know, and maybe we'll get some reporting on this. Like, who else? Was there anybody? It kind of sounds like it was just sort of like, this was like sort of the solo conversation they had. But, I mean, I think all 31 other teams would have been interested in talking to Jerry Jones about this and let him be this stupid.
I mean, the one thing I would say is, I mean, I think if you're Green Bay, it's easier to do this because of where your roster is, how young it is, and the fact you think you're going to be pretty good. Like, if you're the Titans, you are talking about if you gave up two first-round picks, probably pretty high first-round picks there. I mean, unless Parsons came in and was just unbelievable, and that was in concert with Cam Ward being unbelievable at the same time, and you were way better than people thought. But, like, if you're the Packers, you look at it and you say, this dude is the missing piece for us competing for a championship, and I don't think the Titans would have viewed it that way.
Sorry, no, they wouldn't have. But again, he's got the runway with him. He's a piece. He's a piece of if you can do anything else good of a championship.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Micah Parsons trade. We will do that. We will get into some comments from Mike Borgonzi from yesterday as well, plus another spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League to give away this hour. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This season, catch MTSU football on Totally Hits 93.3. Tomorrow, the Blue Raiders hosting Austin Peay. Kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. We will have Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us later in the program. He will be joining us from 8 to 9. He may show up a little bit earlier, and we will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. The first edition of Pigskin Pick'em of the season, which will normally be on Fridays at 8:30. We will do that today at 7:15 before PK gets in. So we'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up here in about 45 minutes at 7:15 with a wild weekend of college football coming up. So looking forward to that. We're taking your thoughts on the Micah Parsons trade. Before we do that, before we continue that, I have a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League to give away. We have two spots to give away today, our final two spots that are available. We have a fantasy draft coming up next Wednesday night in person. We would love for you to be there in person. Not necessarily required to do it, but we would highly encourage, if you want a spot, try to be there in person coming up next Wednesday night. The trivia question, which you can answer on the text line, do not call in. This is a text-only trivia question. You know, we talked a lot about Reggie White today. Reggie White, long career with the Philadelphia Eagles, and then got traded to the Green Bay Packers. And before he retired in 1999, he did not play in 1999. He actually ended up coming back after he retired and played in 2000 for the Carolina Panthers at age 39 and had 5.5 sacks, which is still unbelievable at age 39 to do that. But at age 37, his last year with the Green Bay Packers, how many sacks did Reggie White have in the 98 season at age 37 in Green Bay? The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Again, this is a text line competition, so text in your answer. The answer is pretty freaking mind-blowing when you think about how old he was at that point. But it goes to show you that he's one of the greatest football players who ever lived.
He is. He absolutely is. He should be. He should be. When you know people talk about, and some people you know will just stick with quarterbacks. Talk about Brady or whoever. I think a lot of people. I would probably say LT, who's the best football player ever. But man, Reggie White should be. Anytime that is brought up, Reggie White should be discussed. He was incredible.
Congratulations! It's already over. Oh. Matt from Fairview, the winner.
Good 16, job, Matt.
The correct answer. We had a lot of guesses coming in, several of which are not correct. But Matt from Fairview, the winner. 16 sacks for Reggie White in 1998 at age 37. It's unbelievable.
That is
16 sacks.
The guy was – we were talking about this off air, but it's like, you know, I not old enough to, like, remember, you know, watching him at Tennessee. What did he do in the SEC in the early 80s, you know? I do remember him with the Memphis Showboats of the USFL, which, you know, was a lot of great players from college were going, but that also takes years away of production from him from the NFL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what did he do in the SEC, man?
Pretty incredible. Jeez. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, happy Festivus to you, Robbie, on this trade, man. What a day for you. But I think we have to speak to the Titans fans. There's no way. Number one, Micah Parsons was going to come here to play for the Tennessee Titans. Number two is that the Titans would have to pay so much in the suck tax to get him here. And the Titans fans, you just need to understand that you cannot deplete everything and give up everything. We have no depth anywhere. And yet they want us to go ahead and lobby all the futures on this player. I mean, yes, it would be nice to have him, but you have to be logical about where the state of the Tennessee Titans is. And the suck tax would be absolutely outrageous. We already got a suck tax player in Legarius Sneed, and we're overpaying for. So, you know, yes, it would be nice. But at the same time, you just have to be real and understand he's not going to set us over the edge. And also, too, I got a little rebuttal. Googled it, the Reggie White question. It does say sources did debunk that he did not have 16 sacks. That was 14 sacks.
Jared, I'm looking at the stats on the Pro Football Reference page right now. He had 16 sacks in 1998.
Okay.
Anyway. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I saw somebody else on the text line said that, too. Yeah,
I'm looking right at it.
What does that
16.
Mean? 16. I don't understand.
Oh. No, yeah. But, hey, anyways, happy Labor Day weekend. Happy football weekend, fellas. And, yeah, man, happy Festivus, Robbie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, look, as far as the Micah Parsons coming here is concerned.
It's a trade.
It would be a trade. And, look, I think it – I mean, wasn't there a report that I guess they were down in Atlanta and somebody was yelling at him about, like, hey, come to the Falcons. He was like, tell him to give me a call. He's just yelling to the fan. He's like – tell him to give a call to Jerry. Like, I don't know that in the end he was too picky about where he was going to end up.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, they would. I'm sure the money would have been about the same as it is now. It's not like it's like, oh, no. His agent's got to – nope, sorry. We got to go more than the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history because you stink right now. It's a trade. Now, I hear what you're saying about giving up futures. You're not in a position. I'm just saying, look – if you have that player at 26, you can't do – give me those two picks and tell me what you're going to get. Are you going to get in two players something that that equates to that player at age 26, I'll bet you you aren't.
I'd be pretty difficult.
I'll bet you you aren't.
Pretty difficult.
And that's the whole thing. Like, that is a great, that is a foundational player for the duration of a typical NFL contract. A great foundational player for you. Like, so again, I think every single franchise in this league would have happily tried to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I am interested to see in the reporting of this if it ever comes out, like, exactly how many teams were interested. I mean, look, the one thing I'll say about Jerry, like, if he wants to air that out, he will, right? Like, he'll, this is exactly how many teams were interested, and the Packers gave us the best offer. Like, I'm sure, I don't know if it'll all be truthful, but
that, you know, they were, we had a lot of teams calling us about Michael. Michael was really in demand around the league, and that's just the one we did, the Packers.
Well, like Jabari is bringing up on the YouTube chat, and we've talked a little bit about that. Like, if you're Jerry Jones, so I want to deal with a team like the Titans.
Exactly.
Especially an AFC team that sucks, okay?
Now, granted, you're talking logically, and I don't know that Jerry Jones is thinking logically.
Well, anymore. Sure, right? I mean, it goes along with everything else, but it's like, I just, the market, if it was truly opened up, like, let's go. We're open for business. You know, apparently, according to some of the reporting, this was the decision was made earlier this week, which kind of speaks to some of those rumors that were flying around, right? And then it was just about waiting for the negotiation of the contract. If you truly open this up, I think you would have gotten, I think you would, I think there are teams that would have been talking about 3 first round picks for him. I really do. And again, you can trade with a team that's not good, so you'll get high first round picks. You're trading with a team that's already good in your conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the depths of stupidity here, like the layers are truly amazing. What an onion of stupidity.
It is an onion of stupidity. And again, like, you know, Ed keeps talking on the YouTube chat about the Packers and the window to win. You know, is it a failure if they don't win this year? No, because he's still there. he's got, you know, he's 26. How long is Micah Parsons going to be an elite player? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, look, that's the thing about the NFL. There could be an injury that comes along at any moment that totally changes this entire conversation and the equation. But based on the information that we have and what we know to this point, if he is anything close to what he's been in his career to this point, I mean, you're talking about a guy that could be a really, really, really effective player for the next, I don't know, half dozen years at least.
Yeah, look, of course, as a Packers fan, you expect a championship, right? Like, you expect that in the next few years, the Packers are going to win a championship.
Correct.
If you aren't, if they don't, you'll be disappointed.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean you're going to then go back again and say, yeah, that trade, man, if we had those first-round picks. Yeah, I there's a Bears fan who texted on here and is like, I'm still good with the Khalil Mack trade. Like, they didn't do anything. But that trade still, he was a great player for them. I mean, it's one player. It's a huge investment in both draft and money. But I just – look, if they don't win at all, and certainly that's possible. Again, I don't think it's going to be because, man, Nicholas Petit-Frere is just one-on-one blocking Micah Parsons. He can't do anything in this game.
Somebody asking about the Packers defense, like, what does this do for them? Like, how good are they already? I mean, they're a top-5 defense in takeaways last year. They were pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they weren't – I wouldn't call them elite, but they were pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. And now you've got Parsons rushing the passer. Like, really the one part
Rashawn
of their team.
Rashawn Gary is a beast.
Rashawn Gary, if he's healthy, is a beast. You got Lucas Van Ness, who they took in the first round a couple years ago at edge rusher as well. Really the one part of the Packers defense that you look at right now and you're like, I don't know, is corner. And they got some good players at corner. They had Nate Hobbs, who they signed in the offseason, who's hurt. So we'll see what that all looks like. But, yeah, like, they've got a chance to be pretty darn good defense. And a lot of people, we've gotten a lot of this today on the text line, is finally somebody made a trade dumber than the A.J. Brown trade. Finally. It finally happened. I mean, we've probably got 25 texts of that so far today.
This is without question dumber than the A.J. Brown trade. And that was mind-blowing dumb.
Yeah. I mean, that essentially got a general manager fired. along with a lot of other things. But
and started
that was kind of
this
the
franchise
force.
on the fast track to where they are now.
That's one thing. This GM can't get fired for this move.
That is true. That is true.
So
he's
maybe
not
he
going
would
to
too,
fire
but
himself.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Sorry, Cowboys fans. Sorry, Chase.
We will get into some comments from Mike Borgonzi coming up next on the Titans, what he had to say yesterday, looking ahead to week one against the Denver Broncos. All that coming up. We've got Pigskin Pick'em at 7:15, night one of college football, and what is an unbelievable college football weekend took place last night. We'll get into all of it. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds taking on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 7:15. A lot of people asking about the last fantasy spot. We will have one more fantasy football spot to give away coming up in the 8 o'clock hour on Robbie and Rextro. So make sure you're tuned in for that. I have a couple of different ideas that, frankly, I've not decided on yet of how we will handle that. But I have a few different ideas.
Stupid human tricks? David Letterman?
Well,
have someone.
I'm thinking about maybe involving PK in some way.
Oh.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Pin the tail on the PK?
Well,
let's do that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Who control PK the best?
Yeah.
You're
well,
in. You're in the league.
That may be. Maybe how we do it. Mike Borgonzi speaking yesterday with the Tennessee Titans. I wouldn't say that there was a ton that Mike Borgonzi said that was really noteworthy in his press conference yesterday, but a couple of interesting nuggets there regarding punt returner for sure, and maybe a nugget on how they're feeling on the offensive line heading into the year. Let's start on the punt returner front. He did confirm that DK will be the punt returner in week one, which is interesting because you look at the way they handled it in the preseason. And James Prochet got a lot of work at punt returner. They kept throwing Jaquan Jackson back there for some reason, which I think we all saw last year. That's probably not a very good idea. And DK, you know, he got some action in the preseason at punt returner. I don't think he ever actually returned a punt in the game. He just
a bit strange.
Either fair caught it or the punt was out of bounds or whatever. So we haven't seen him, like, return a punt in a preseason game to this point. But looks like he's going to have the job, at least for week one. What do you make of that and the Titans going about it that way with week one with Chimere DK?
Yeah. I'd probably feel a little bit of tension as a Titans fan when he's back to receive a punt in the first game of his rookie year a mile above sea level in that stadium. You know? Like I'm sorry for like having visions of Kyle Phillips, but if anybody remembers Kyle Phillips' rookie preseason, he had, I believe, a couple awesome returns. And it was like, oh, okay. Now, well, first of all, he was also cooking people in practice. So when you first see the guy, you're like, is that like, is he one of the team managers or, you know, and then you're watching him do all this stuff. And then, you know, in real NFL games, we know what happened. It is a different deal.
Yeah.
So I'd be tense, you know, and I'd probably be, if I'm the Titans, be like, you know, DK, just fair catching is fine. You know, if you have a line drive.
I'm with you, but good Lord, they've got to get past that at some point.
At some
point,
yeah.
It's been such a problem for them for a long time of just having nobody that can affect the game back there.
I'm just talking about the first game.
I know. I'm with you. But, like, I even look at him, and there was this clip going around yesterday of a return that he had against Tennessee last year in the Florida-Tennessee game. And it was a nice punt return where he ducked out of a few tackles and got a pretty good gain. You know, everybody talks about his speed, and speed is important. But, like, you got to get on a punt return. Like, I think punt returning and kickoff returning are two very different things.
Yep.
It's way easier to get your speed built up on the kick return. It's a harder thing to do. Like, it's basically about, like, short area quickness on punt return. And does he have that at the NFL level? We'll
right.
See.
And if you can make people miss quickly and then accelerate quick, right. With a kickoff return, again, we don't even see that many of them anymore. That matter, but that is you are downhill, and then it's just frankly it's a lot easier.
Yeah,
right. I mean, punt returning is a lot harder. So it seems like if you were going to, it'd be interesting to talk to PK about this. Like, if there was like a game where like you were going to be able to work in Prochet, like this would be one of them.
You would think,
you know. So, yeah. But yeah, long term. you definitely hope that DK can be a productive guy, but you have to be a reliable guy first.
Yeah, I am. That's going to be something that in week one, you hope is really not that big a deal. Like, you hope you get through the end of the game and you're not talking that much about punt return unless it's something that's really positive for you. I don't know when the last time the Titans have had, you know, a punt return that's been very positive for them. It's basically been, hey, can you hold on to the ball? Great. Get out there and catch the punt. That's awesome. But it would be nice at some point for them to have somebody back there that could field the punt and actually be a threat. I'm not even saying you got to break three touchdowns a year or anything like that, but move the ball forward. Like, get the ball going 10 yards, 5 yards, 15. I mean, dare I say 15 yards on a punt return. I know that's crazy, but can we get that at some point here with the Titans?
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's been pretty barren, no doubt about it. And again, Kyle Phillips, I believe, would have, if you could count on him to catch it, he would have had some nice returns.
Yeah.
He really
problem
would
is
have.
The catching it was a big problem.
Yeah, so get that figured out first. But I do think that also out of yesterday there wasn't a lot. And the Titans having one media thing the entire week.
It's been light this
week.
I've never
seen that before, honestly. And I wonder if that becomes – a little bit, and I don't know what other teams are doing, but I wonder if that becomes a little bit more than normal. It's like basically just go, NFL just goes away. It's fine. College football, we had a nice night last night. But the other thing is, I do have to think that Cushenberry, based on everything we're hearing and seeing, is going to start that opener at center, which is, I definitely would not have predicted that a few weeks ago.
Well, and look, it's great because, you know, I wondered. In the offseason, I mean, you're talking about an offensive lineman coming off a torn Achilles. And what did he play, 8 games last year? I looked at that and I was like, is he going to be back by like October?
Yeah.
Like, what's that going to look like? So if he's already ready to go in his full strength in week one, I mean, to me, that's a huge development because, like, we know we've talked so much over the last few years about continuity on the offensive line, how important that is. And I'm legitimately – I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am optimistic about what we saw from the offensive line in the preseason. And if they could have their starting center available from the jump, to me, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I have to think it's, like, without question, easily clearing all – I mean, it has to be – all, you know, benchmarks that you need to be able to play on the field. I know he's talked about game shape. I mean, all that stuff matters. You know, and especially you think about an Achilles, like, it's like, to me, if there's any question about any part of your physical, you know, all your attributes going into a game coming off an Achilles, I'd wait. I heard Trevor Maddich on DVD saying, basically, like, I wouldn't mess with this. Like, this should, you should have more time to ramp up. But this is Achilles, just like it used to be with knees. I think Achilles, now we have to get used to different timelines.
Yeah.
Even with big people, apparently.
Apparently so.
So, because I can't believe that they're taking any sort of risk whatsoever if they're going to start him in this game.
No, I wouldn't think so. And look, you know, somebody points out on YouTube, it is his former team that he's playing against. So, I'm sure that's, you know, maybe part of it. But from the Titans' perspective, I'd be like, yeah, it's great. It's your former team. We need you for the other 16 games as well.
From the Titans' perspective, that's why I would be even more skeptical about doing it.
Right.
And so if this is going to happen, I just have to believe there's 100% comfort from all the people who matter who are looking at him, and that's pretty amazing.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program. We got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into with him, so looking forward to that later in the show. Week one of college football began last night. It is an awesome weekend of college football that continues tonight, and then a big day, obviously, tomorrow. We're going to take a look at the big games and how it could impact, even this early in the season, what the college football playoff picture is going to look like at the end of the year. We'll take your thoughts on all that. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 7:15. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.